It's 4:37 on August 28th, 2017. I've just gotten a terrible shock from Persis. God's given me peace and he gave it to me very quickly, but I got to record this and see what God is going to end up doing with this. But my wife, I've just had to tell her, God bless her, she is terribly deceived, in my opinion. Terribly. I can't even process it. Basically, we've had these spiritual differences that have continued to rear up their head over this last, you know, 2-3 months. So we've been seeing differently and believing each other's been deceived. And today I've just discovered something I'm shocked by. Persis basically, I don't even know how we got on the conversation, but Persis basically has explained to me that she believes that the kingdom of God and perfection has already come. And that there is no need for us to go out and do all this evangelizing and all these preachers and teachers. And what she says is, she says, Michael, look at what it's produced. When Jesus got started, there was 11. Now there are billions that profess the name of Christ. And I said, well, they're professing, but they're not true Christians. And she says, exactly. This is what has been produced as a result of men going out and preaching the gospel and trying to force the gospel down men's throats. And I said, okay, honey, I understand what you're saying, that there's a lot of false converts. But that does not dismiss the true followers of Christ from going out and doing the true work of Christ. Of course, the devil's producing his tares. So anyhow, to hear my wife say this has been absolutely shocking. And I had to say to her, oh, Persis, you've been so deceived. And she says, well, you know, I can't force you to believe. I said, no, and I can't force you to believe what I'm believing. But I said, you know, look at what happened in our marriage. And she always wants to say that she married me in accordance with her conscience and because God told her to. She no longer wants to admit that she fell madly, deeply in love with me and that God used me to encourage her. It's like the devil has wiped it out of her mind. The reality of her experience has been replaced by her new belief that perfection has come and that she hasn't needed anybody. This is what she really believes, that she hasn't needed anybody to come to this place. She only needed God, and completion has already come. Perfection has already come. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me, Persis. I said, why do you think the Bible says he gives gifts? God led men captive in his training, gave gifts to men. He gave some to this, some to that, some to this, some to that, for the building up of the saints till we would all reach unity in the faith and fullness in God. She says, oh, that was back then. But that was, perfection came after Paul. She really bought into this. The people that believe, oh my gosh, there's a 939 right there. See, God showing me. She's blind. Unbelievable. A 939 right now. If you could see, you would not be guilty. But because you think you can see, you are blind. John 9:39. And so, wow, I thank God for showing that to me. Yes, because it's unbelievable. She believes that because she can see this, she's blind. And she's had no other person to influence her, to be authority figure in her life, to question her. She doesn't allow it. She takes the, no, I only need God. God's the only one that needs to teach me. And she's completely away, erased all that God has done through me to encourage her. And of course, now I understand why. This belief has been building up in her and building up in her. I said, so Persis, are you saying you're perfect? She said, well, I can't prove it to you, and you can't, you know, you can't, I can't show it to you. It's in my heart. And I said, so you're basically saying you're perfect and you're done and you're like, you don't need any other encouragement or help? Or so I have to say, I am absolutely unbelievably shocked. I was freaked out for just a second in my heart. And I said, well, you know what? God's not freaked out. He knows this is going to happen. I just point blank had to tell her, sweetheart, I love you. And I assured her of my faith that I'm going to love you through this. I don't love you because you and I think the same, but I said, this is shocking. I found out more and more we believe completely differently. Now I understand why she thinks all I'm doing is a waste. Now I understand why she's not getting involved in the ministry with me. Now I understand why she doesn't get excited when there's a testimony that comes in. Praise God, I now know. I now know why she's been so dismissive in showing what I believe is contempt. She believes I'm wasting my time and that God's already done this. I mean, it's just truly unbelievable. And this also explains why when I mention things about the kingdom of God or whatever, she goes silent. My wife, what a crisis spiritual this is. It's unbelievable. It all makes sense all of a sudden. Now I thank God for him giving me meaning to show this, but man, I just want so bad to say, Persis, go study work in the Bible. Go look at what Jesus said is going to happen to those who hide their talent, who bury their talent. Go look and see what it says about those who Jesus, when he comes back, doesn't find the workers busy giving their food at the other time. See, Persis believes perfection has already come, that the second return of Christ has already happened at AD 70. Preterists, the people that believe that Jesus Christ already came. And so now I could understand why she would believe that. She believes he's already come, and therefore there's no other reason for us to do any of this work. She believes all the evangelism work and all the teaching and the preaching has been done, and that now it's a matter of God wooing in the elect who he selected and making known his ways to them. Wow, this is really, I mean, I can understand how she could believe that. Once you believe Jesus Christ has already come a second time, this reminds me of why Paul spoke to the Thessalonians and said, look, be busy working. Man, I'm going to have to do my study and show her that this is not true. I mean, if you really believe, what a nail in the coffin. If you believe that Jesus Christ already came back and that the kingdom of God is already here, and it's just a matter of people going through the process, she believes this is it. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, I'm just shocked. Wow, my goodness gracious. May God's will be done, and I'm just going to have to pray and trust my Father for this. You know, it's one thing for a person to be Catholic and a Protestant, and it's one thing for a person to be a believer and unbeliever, but when you have two people who seem to be in possession of the same faith, and then they're married together, and then one of them starts going down this road of, I believe Jesus has already come. It's all been done. Wow. I mean, and there's a lot of people that believe this. And I just said, Lord, I even went in my room. I said, God, if I'm wrong, please show me. I said, but God Almighty, help her, open her eyes to see the truth to this. I mean, now I'm afraid that the devil's deceived her and she's going to just sit around. And I said, Persis, if perfection has already come and you already are everything God intended for you to be, and you're already fully in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of heaven is already here. That's what she believes. The kingdom of heaven is already here. And I said, no, the kingdom of heaven is not here. The kingdom of God is here. See, she believes that when it says now the dwelling of God is with men, that that's already happened, that all the tears have been wiped away, that all joys and all of that, there's no more weeping, no more sickness, no more this. She believes all that is now. I wonder how she reconciles, if she were to get cancer or some sickness, how she's going to reconcile that with the kingdom of God where there is no sickness. I need to think about some scriptures on this, but I can see why she believes that God's kingdom is here and we're ruling and reigning with him. But I wanted to say to her, what use is your life to God? You're not doing anything. You're not serving your husband. You make me some food. I didn't say this to her, but this is what I want to say to her is, what is your life counting for? But I can see how if you believe it's all done, that you know, the whole goal is just to get into the kingdom of heaven. There's no more need to try to evangelize. And she's saying, look, it's just producing false converts. And I'm like, well, what do you think God's doing through me? She says, but Michael, you don't live with these people. I said, Paul didn't live with his people either. He said, I have heard of your faith. But she says, you don't believe. I said, so you think these people that are telling me their lives have changed, they've turned away from sin? My God, it all comes clear to me now. Now I see more and more why she has no enthusiasm whatsoever when I share a testimony. Which is why I stopped sharing testimonies with her, because she doesn't believe. She must believe it's all a complete fake, that I'm being used to produce false disciples. Wow, absolutely shocking. Hello, my brother or sister in Christ. Today is actually May 21st, 2019. I want to cut in after this recording you've just heard that I've edited, and I want to give some additional insights. I want to help you understand that as you hear Persis drifting farther and farther away from her pure and sincere devotion to Christ, you're going to hear that she goes much farther than where she's at right now in this recording you've just heard. But I want to back up and fill in a few details about how this happens, because it's rare that a person will go from believing full, true, pure, what we would call orthodox Christian beliefs, to then overnight believing the opposite or something that's completely heretical. Typically, it happens with a slow drift where the devil is scheming with all of his subtle tactics and techniques to get a person to bite on something that's just outside the truth, which leads to a greater acceptance of something that's not truth and a greater acceptance that something is not true, until eventually, like all those years I would sit out surfing, looking out into the horizon, waiting for the next set of waves during a good storm, eventually I've gotten tired and I turn around just to catch a glimpse of the shore, and not having any idea, I have been drifting with a very heavy, fast current. And I look and I say, how in the world did our boardwalk get way down there? Or how in the world did our towel get way down there? It didn't move. I did. I was drifting without knowing it. And this is such a powerful illustration for what has happened in the lives of so many thousands of Christians that I hear have drifted away and fallen away from Jesus Christ. I continue to hear testimonies of people whose spouses were once a pastor and they fell away, or people who had children who were so devout in their following of Christ and have drifted away. It didn't usually just happen where today I'm a full-blown follower of Christ and tomorrow I've drifted away and now a child of the devil. No, it usually happens that you drift slowly over time. So let me try to help you understand a few things about how this happened with Persis. First of all, Persis came from the most legalistic culture I've ever seen or understood in my life. To give you an idea of how legalistic it is and how much pressure there is on that society to follow the rules, to do good, and to have everything in your life externally appear righteous, there was a story that I just read about yesterday. It happened just 3 weeks ago in India. 20 young people killed themselves after their exam results came in as failing grades. If you can imagine, they failed in their grades, their exam results, and they killed themselves. It was less painful to them to die and lose their entire life than it was for them to go home and face the shame of exam results that were failing. This is the kind of pressure, just one example of umpteen different ways that society puts so much pressure on people and will shame people, that many people in India are preferring to kill themselves than to face certain shames by being involved in this, that, or the other, or failing. It's horrendous. So that will help you understand that she came out of this incredibly legalistic, high pressure for external righteousness society where everybody polices and watches every single thing you do. Number two, Persis had, because of that, an extreme fear of losing her freedom. So everything in her life has been being controlled, and she has, in her whole life, she's told me her greatest fear has been losing her freedom. So she's constantly fought for ways to manipulate her life and circumstances so that she cannot be controlled. She simply went from one extreme to the other, just like I did with money. I used to love money, thought for sure the more I had, the better my life would work. You've heard all those stories. And then when God opened my eyes, for a time I went all the way over to the other extreme, where money is evil and anybody that has it cannot go to heaven. That is not true. The truth is somewhere in the middle. And many of us do this. We have been abused in one area. I have a friend of mine, Jared Tabai. You've heard of him. You've heard me mention him. You're going to be hearing more from him soon. He's a beloved brother in Christ. Jared, as an example, had a tremendous amount of influence and pressure on end times related stuff. And it was so perverted and so twisted that he began to revolt against it. And he got to the point where if anybody mentioned anything end times, he couldn't stand it, didn't want to hear anything about it, and felt that it was all false. So he went from one extreme to the other. Another example, when I was really kind of still young in my faith, young adult, I had this friend of mine who had led me to the Lord, and he and his wife had begun studying about demons and devils. And every book they had, Frank Peretti and Darkness This and Darkness That and Demons This, they were studying all this stuff. And so every time I was around them, it was like there was a devil behind every tree. There was a demon behind every rock. And so I got so sick and tired of hearing about devils and demon and Satan that I went from one extreme of hearing about it all the time to over this extreme that anytime somebody ever mentioned a devil, a demon spirit, or Satan, they were a whack and I didn't want to have anything to do with them. So we have to be really careful. It's good to come to correction, but we have to make sure that we don't come too far and go from one extreme to the other. This is exactly what Persis has done, and you'll continue to hear this as this story develops. She went from the extreme of being under the total oppressive control of a religious system and a very strict legalistic society, including her family, including her friends, including everybody around her, to now revolting entirely against all authority, against all rules, against all commandments, even the new covenant, in an effort to preserve what she believes is liberty. But this is an extreme version and it's false. And as you can now see in the story, it's become dangerous. Now, how did Persis get here? It started with an offense. The offense where I told you that Persis and I disagreed between ethnic Israel and spiritual Israel. And there was such an offense created in her that it opened up the door for the enemy to begin feeding her perverted thoughts and ideas. When you are offended and you do not take it to the Father, you have now become vulnerable. It's as if you've taken off the Ephesians 6 breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is when you're good with God, you're good with the devil. It doesn't mean he won't attack you. He attacks me every day relentlessly, okay? But he does not affect me. He does not stop me. And anything he does to me ends up for my good. And I end up using it. God uses it to help me look more like Jesus Christ rather than destroying me, paralyzing me, disabling me, or making me spiritually impotent, okay? When you receive an offense, if you stay offended and you do not humble yourself and go to God and pour out that offense to him and hang it on his hook, if you will, if you keep it on yours, you effectively remove God's hand of protection. You're removing the breastplate of righteousness, and this gives the devil opportunity and license to begin to afflict you. His number one affliction is deception. If he cannot destroy you through, you know, heroin, sticking heroin in your needle, or drinking and drugging and sexing through pornography, he'll destroy you if you're a good person like my wife who has a good heart. He'll destroy you through deception. He'll just deceive you and lead you astray, drift you away from the truth slowly and slowly before you look up and realize, wow, how in the world did Jesus get all the way down there? And for some people, it's too late. Paul says you can shipwreck your faith. Okay? Now, with Persis, what ended up happening next? There was an offense created. This opens up the door for her to be deceived. So if you're offended, shut it down immediately. Go to God. Father, forgive that person. They know not what they do. Forgive me for being offended. Father, I'm so sorry. You carry every single offense, even if you have to go to him 15 times in a day because somebody's that bad to you. You go to him and you give it to him. It'll keep you safe. You dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, Psalm 91:1, okay? And you go and you tell every offense and every anxiety to Father, for he cares for you. If you do not do this, you have pride. My wife has pride. The reason that she has pride is because of her fear. That fear of anybody else having any say, anybody else being able to control her life and losing her freedom, it raises up that element of pride which says, I can do this. I don't trust anybody else to keep my freedom, but I trust me to preserve my liberty. I can keep me. I can do this. Pride is birthed in hell. Pride is the root of Satan, and pride ends up with Satan in hell. Okay? Pride is exalting yourself, saying, I can, I can, I can. It's the self life. And so as soon as you step into a part of your life where you think you can, that's an area of pride. Period. End of story. Don't try to make it any more theologically difficult or complex than that. It's this simple. Pride is the problem. And with Persis, even though she appears to be so humble on the outside, in some ways she is, but she has this area of pride that the devil is able to leverage that says you better not give any control to anybody else in your life. You'll lose your freedom. And that eventually went from people even to God. You see this? He was able to get her to be so afraid of people and to walk in her own pride, again, pushing her buttons through fear, getting her to take action, to act on her behalf, trusting in herself, having her own strength be her God, which the Bible says that is a horrible place to be, to eventually he was able to turn and point her to God and saying, look, even he is trying to control you. And again, he didn't say it to her like this consciously. She drifted away from this through deceptive teachings. And now what happens is she begins looking through the Bible. She's trying to find a story in the Bible that will fill in the gaps for the meaning that she does not yet have in her life on how her life has ended up the way it has, how her family's life ended up the way it did. She would begin intense studies through, you know, studying about Babylon, studying about the wilderness. And so what she would do is she would say, look, oh, this is what it was. This is why we came to where we are. This is why we are. It was about the wilderness. And then when she couldn't put all the pieces together and she was missing something, she moved to Babylon. She started studying the Babylonian captivity and the book of Jeremiah and all the different principles and why God was doing this to the Israelites. And she found some things in common. And she said, look, it's like we're experiencing Babylon. And so it's this, it's that, it's that. Then eventually that didn't have all the answers that she was looking for. She still had question marks. So then she moved to something else. Then it became about the prodigal son. And she became so hot and heavy on the older son and the younger son. And all of her meaning was now being filtered through prodigal son and older son. And this is why we're the way we are. And this is how we came to this place. And this is why this happened in my family. And this is how we get right with God. She was constantly searching for that perfect silver bullet in Scripture to give her all the meaning for her life. And when she couldn't find one, she kept moving from one to the other to the other. Instead of waiting on God to give her light and to give her understanding, she kept going in her own strength looking for the model till eventually she ran out of stories or anecdotes in the Bible to give her meaning. And when the question marks were still there, here's the greatest temptation that led her to ultimately what would begin be the beginning of her spiritual death. She stepped outside the Bible and went to the psychological teachings of men. When she could no longer make meaning for her personal testimony in some one place in the Bible or some one theme or some one book or chapter or a set of series of events, she now stepped into the psychological world of men to see what kind of answers and meaning they came up with. And then she did the exact same thing in the world of men that she did in God's Word. It started with, I think, birth order. As soon as she came to the United States and she got on the internet and started searching these things, she found birth order. And suddenly, this whole new insight came to her about why maybe she was the way she was and why her older sister was the way she was. And wow, this is uncanny. This cannot be a coincidence that I'm like this. And it says I'm going to be like this. And so she found all this truth. Many of these things are true by statistics, okay? But she didn't realize that in the process of going to the teachings of men, many of which are nothing more than doctrines of devils, she was walking away from the truth, Jesus Christ. She was walking away from being a humble child, dependent upon Father to give insight, to give revelation, to wait on Him to give meaning, and instead she's gone on this great search to find it herself. And so soon after, when the birth order thing started to leave her with question marks, she jumped to something else. And now it became about personality profiles. And she started looking at all the different personality types. And she found a great deal of meaning. Some of these things are fascinating. These things are incredibly captivating. And they provide meaning to earth dwellers. You know, these people that are heathens, that are without the Spirit of God, they have to have things, stories they tell themselves to make meaning. Men have been telling themselves stories since the dawn of creation about why we're here and where we're going. Most of it's told through religion. Well, even those who don't believe in God have stories, and much of them come from psychology. And so she's reading these things about personality profiles, and men have come up with and identified and labeled a great number of things about people and the way we behave and our certain tendencies. And brothers and sisters, a lot of it is true. But gravity is true. Gravity is also true, but knowing about gravity will not get you to heaven. 2 + 2 = 4. Math is true, but knowing math will not get you to heaven. It's so important to understand this, that what the devil tries to do through these tantalizingly information in the secular world is no different than what he tried to do to Eve in the Garden of Eden. God is leaving you out. You're not in the inner circle. If you really want to be like God, if you want to really know the difference between good and evil, if you really want to have insight into who you are and why you do the things you do, you need to come over here and eat this fruit called psychological principles A through Z, whatever. You need to come over here and check this out. Come over here and check out yoga. Come over here and check out this religion. Come check out Buddhism. Come check out this. And so the devil will lead you astray, knowing that you have this insatiable desire to make meaning, to find understanding. This is why the occult is so big. It's men and women who are so excited about finding the secret information, and they have no idea they've opened up Satan's door and knocked on his door and said, "Hey, devil, tell me everything you know about my life and how it works, how I got here and where I'm going." They have no idea, which is why the Father is so anti the occult, so anti seeking after the hidden things which belong only to God, Deuteronomy 29:29. So Persis jumped from one thing next to another. From after this, it became the introvert extrovert. When the personality profiling fell flat, when the birth order thing fell flat, then it became about introvert extrovert. And for many, many months, everything out of Persis's mouth, every story she told, it was all being filtered now through this new paradigm of introvert extrovert. I had an incredible experience of watching my wife change her paradigm, change her worldview countless times throughout this process, where she continued to try to pour her life, view her life through this new paradigm to see if she could get the images to line up just perfectly and say, aha, this is why. And that's, we all have a worldview. We all say life is like this. And the devil is trying to define the life view, and he is successfully defining the life view for all those around you. The Bible says God has led the God of the world, the devil, has led the entire world astray. He does this by telling you life is like this. And when you can find some truth in your life that lines up with, wow, I am a middle child. Wow, I am an introvert. Wow, I am that type of personality profile. You begin to believe that is the meaning of life, rather than trusting the simple wisdom of Jesus Christ. And in search of truths, you walk away from the truth, the way, the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Remembering Jesus Christ taught that God the Father was pleased to hide deep spiritual revelation in the things that Jesus Christ spoke about from the wise and learned, and instead he reveals it unto babes or little children. He hides it. When you want to go be wise and learned on your own like my wife does, you will become blind. God will hide the truth from you until you learn your lesson, if you do, hopefully. So these are some of the things that happened, and she just graduated from one step into the darkness. And then from there, when the psychological principles of men fell flat, what you're going to hear further in the story, I don't want to give away too much of it, she's going to begin to turn to an alternate spirituality. You see this? This story in the Bible didn't work. That story in the Bible didn't work. That story in the Bible didn't work. This psychological principle didn't meet it. That psychological teaching didn't give her all the meaning and answers. Neither did that one. So I'm still searching. I haven't found what I'm looking for. So now I'm going to keep searching, and eventually I find this counterfeit, false spirituality, which I'm going to share a lot more about, but not yet going in. My brothers and sisters, I want to make one final point in this recording to help you identify how scheming the devil's tactics are. The devil is a counterfeit. The devil is a counterfeiter of truth. And when you and I think of a counterfeit, we typically think of something that is a gross perversion of what the truth first was. We look at something and say, you know, oh, it's pretty clear David Koresh was a counterfeit. David Koresh being one of the worst examples in our, you know, modern times of a terrible, terrible cult that became very famous. And so we would look at somebody like a David Koresh, or we look at somebody like a Jim Jones, and we say, there's a counterfeit. And what people don't realize is that, no, that's way, way far away from being a good counterfeit. A good counterfeit looks so much like the real thing that you cannot tell, usually until it's too late, or unless you have a trained eye. a third party that can look on this and say, no, this is real. This is the greater deception, not a Jim Jones or a David Koresh or some of these just ridiculous looking teachers in the Word of Faith and all these. These things are not the great counterfeits. The greater counterfeit is the one that looks so much like the real that you cannot tell, that it takes an incredibly discerning heart to discern, is this of God or is this not of God? Okay? This is what's important for you to know about this. I like to use money as an example. If I gave you $200 bills, a real one and a counterfeit, a good counterfeit, you and I could not tell by looking at it. I could hold them both up beside each other. You would not be able to tell. You would say, yes, this is real money. If you've grabbed it and you felt it, you would say, yes, this is real money. It's exactly like this one. But to the trained person can come along and say, nope, look at this. They've added this. This one's counterfeit. Or they could say, look, this one's missing. This one's counterfeit. It wouldn't be something obvious. You wouldn't see that they changed the font style. They wouldn't have changed the picture. They wouldn't have changed the colors of the serial numbers. But there will be something that has been added that you will accept as the truth when it is not, or something that's been taken away that you miss slightly. For example, something added. A man may preach the most wonderful Bible sermons. He may just belt out with passion all of his love for God. And then he may say, my brothers and sisters, God does not want you to be poor. God wants you to be wealthy. Our God is rich. He's got a huge checkbook and he wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to be prosperous in all ways in your life. That man has just added something that now we can know is a counterfeit. Even if every single thing he said was true, as soon as he adds that, he's a counterfeit. Let me give you another example. Let's say you've been listening to my recordings and you've deemed that I'm authentic. I'm not perfect. I'm not Jesus Christ. But you see that I'm a man who fears God, a man who's in possession of the truth, a man who's being led by the Spirit, a man who's sacrificed and live as a living sacrifice before Christ Jesus, a man who has God's ear and whom God has his ear, a man whom God is at work in his life and who sovereignly controls the days and times of his life. And you believe and you hear all these things that are true, okay? And your spirit testifies that I'm a man of God. But let's say that one day you hear a recording from me where I say, it's time to follow me. It's time for you guys all to move where I'm at. And what you need to know now is that in order for you to get completely right with God, you have to follow me. You have to come under my leadership. Let's say I started telling you that you need to come under my leadership. And that I'm in possession of a greater truth than you are. You need to come under my leadership. You need to come, let me lead you. And this starts to become, I'm pointing you to me. Guess what we just now have? We now have a counterfeit. You can now know that I have been deceived. I have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. And I'm now being used to lead other people astray. Now, I may have said and maintained all the other things I've believed that you believe. That one thing that I've just added ruins me. It makes me a counterfeit. I have just contradicted the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can follow my example as I follow Christ, but you are not following me. You understand? You're following Jesus Christ. You perhaps are following my example until you can better grab a hold of Jesus Christ yourself, until you can better understand the things you've seen and heard him do in my life, in your life, but you are not following me. You see the difference? All the devil has to do is add one tiny little thing. He's a corrupter of the truth. He just adds one little thing to taint it. It's like those dog poop brownies that you've heard me refer to. If I made you brownies and then just added a little bit of my mom's dog, Bella, if I just added a tiny little bit of her dog poo in there, you wouldn't know it. Oh, I'd say these are delicious brownies. They only have the tiniest bit of dog poo in there. Would you eat them? No, you would not, because you know they've been tainted. That's what the devil does. All the other ingredients are still there. The chocolate is there. The flour is there. The sugar is there. The oil is there. The eggs are there. All the other good things are still there. But I've just mixed in a little bit of dog poo. It spoils the entire batch. That is what Satan does. And so what you've just heard in this recording about this preterist viewpoint, this is an example how many good people have been led astray. They were not led into believing that Jesus Christ was removed from his throne and now Satan sits on the throne at the right hand of God. No, they're not buying into something like that. No, they're just buying into this little tiny thing. Look, I still believe all the teachings of Jesus. I still believe all the Jewish stories and the patriarchs of the faith, and I still believe all the Psalms and the Proverbs, and I still believe all the things that Paul taught, but I just want to add in this little bit of dog poo here and tell you that Jesus Christ actually already came back in AD 70. And there was, you know, eyewitness testimony. And this is why there's so many scriptures that we don't understand. But when you realize that Christ Jesus came back in AD 70, these things make sense. My friend, I tell you, I heard two really respected Christians go head to head in an argument about this one time on a radio show. And both of them, although they are diametrically opposed to one another, both of them had wonderful, brilliant, articulated arguments and answers for each other. The one guy, in my opinion, was so cleverly deceived that it's remarkable. And this guy had like perhaps a PhD level education and was absolutely convinced Jesus Christ already came back in AD 70. This exact thing that Persis now believes. You see? They can agree on all the other things, but you just add this one little piece of dog poo, and now they have something where it's totally ruined. Okay, let me warn you: you be very, very careful if you're getting curious about this and you want to go start preterist thinking. P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-T. That's how you spell preterist. But you be very careful, and you ask God to guard your heart. And I wouldn't go get anything more than a definition of it. You don't need to go study Mormonism to know that it's wrong. You don't need to go visit their church and go inside to know that it's a counterfeit. It's not of God. You be very careful. Many people have just through inquiry, what is that fruit on that tree? And when you get there, fully convinced on the way there, you'll never eat it because you heard God not say it. And when you get there, Satan whispers into your ear, did God really say? That's, my friend, exactly what has happened to my wife. You have to be so careful. That's why I'm weary of telling you these kind of things, because see, all the devil has to do is add one little piece of dog poo to your spiritual brownies to ruin the entire batch and make you undesirable. Make God want to spit you out of his mouth. You have to be so careful. We have to be so unbelievably careful. These are the terrible days of the last end times. You have to understand how incredibly powerful and what a schemer the Satan is. I'm just now dealing with a lady who's a false prophet. I've been getting emails from people from all over the world where on 2018, I'm going to tell you her name. Her name is Lacey. I'm going to go ahead and share this story. There was a follower of my channel in 2018. You guys know I took a rest. Paul warned, but I am afraid that when I leave, men from among your own rank will rise up, distort the truth to follow away, to have you follow them, to draw away disciples after themselves. Guys, this happened to me in 2018. When I took a break, a lady named Lacey took it upon herself. She had been a very enthusiastic follower of my messages for probably about 2 years. I saw lots of activity in comments, and I was praising her for her enthusiasm, and she was kind of yesing and amening along the whole way, and seemed like she'd been through some really difficult things and was finding hope in Christ. This young woman took it upon herself, probably aided by some simple deception of the devil along the way, to begin to believe it's a good idea now for her to start gathering people together in a group around her so they could continue on kind of where I left off. Since I was no longer here for 2018, she took it upon herself and she began to teach, and she created her own website and she created her own YouTube channel. And she claimed on her website that she had not learned any of this from man. Now, this is the same exact kind of thing that my wife is doing. Look at this deception of the devil. She wrote it on her website, in spite of the fact that she learned almost everything she learned from me. She said, I know this. I saw her write all the comments. I saw her watch all my videos. So let me tell you how the devil does. He deceives this young girl. First you become deceived, then you become a deceiver. And she started drawing away people after herself, young, vulnerable, hungry people who, mostly young people, wanted to hear the truth. They're very vulnerable. So I started receiving emails from people that some of them had woken up to this, and they became very concerned. They were distraught in their faith. Many of them were on the verge of losing their faith. They were entirely confused because they found out about this lady, Lacey, through my channel. They started following her. And now all of a sudden she started teaching them things that a lot of it sounded like what I was teaching, but then she added the dog poo and it became corrupt. And many of them were too weak to acknowledge the dog poo had been put into the brownies. And so they just thought, wow, maybe this is some new revelation. Maybe she really is hearing from God. So I didn't think too much of it. I just thought, well, I'll just ignore this. No big deal. Keep doing my work. Then I got another email. Then I got another email. Then I started getting contacts from people in other countries, New Zealand, Costa Rica. Then I started hearing about people moving from other countries, selling everything they have, leaving behind family, and moving to Chicago where this lady lives because, quote, the Spirit of God called them to do this. And I thought, oh my goodness, I need to do something about this. Somebody sent me a video of her sitting on camera. And bless her heart, she's this cute little girl. Isn't it amazing how all the false teachers are so attractive? You look at a Joel Osteen. Is he not the perfect guy to draw people to himself? Thin cheeks, you know, man fit, you know, pretty eyes, perfectly combed hair, so dapper in his dress. It's almost always these handsome. Look at Stephen Furtick, handsome guy, buff, goes to the gym, $10 million house. They always have these handsome qualities, exact opposite of what Jesus Christ was said of him. It says of him, there was nothing in him to attract himself. If I may say for myself, look at my balding head, my crooked nose, my yellow teeth, my sunken chin, my fat belly. I'm not attractive. People are not drawn to me by the way I look. But here is this girl. She's cute, has these big, like, pretty eyes and cute hair, and she speaks so soft and kind and quiet, and it looks like a follower of Jesus. It sounds like a follower of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13 through 15. They are false apostles masquerading. They're deceitful workmen. And we should not be surprised, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So do his servants. And she doesn't, I'm not saying that she's a dedicated servant of Satan, but clearly, 2 Timothy, she has been taken captive by Satan to do his will. And I didn't realize how out of control this was getting. So someone sends me this video, and she's sitting on video with this cute little message that she's giving, and she's just so humble appearing, and she just kind of looks up, and all of a sudden she says, you know, okay, Lord, okay, so Lord, like, is there anything else that you want me to say? As if she's having a conversation on camera with Jesus. I mean, you can look at her. She's looking up and she's listening like Jesus is getting ready to have a conversation, or he's been having a conversation with her the whole time. Absolute delusion of your own mind. Man, does the Bible not warn about these prophets who claim to be speaking an oracle of God, but you are not? I think it's Jeremiah 23, Deuteronomy 13, where God slams these false prophets who claim to be speaking on his behalf, but really they are prophesying out of the own delusions of their corrupt imaginations. And she's sitting here wanting people to believe, and this is what false teachers will do, okay? This is what false teachers will do. They put a tremendous emphasis, and then the Lord said, and then the Lord told me, and then the Lord said, and the Lord told me. Okay, yes, there's a truth to that. Father has told, but look at how many times I have had that come out of my mouth versus the word of God come out of my mouth. I've told you when I've been walking on the trail and the Lord spoke a word to my heart, I am using her for my glory. I've told you all the times God has ministered to my heart, but it's been far and few and in between. It's primarily God leading me and speaking to me by his word, his written word, not me sitting on camera in front of you going, I mean, guys, let me just tell you something. If I ever do that, please unsubscribe from my channel immediately. If I sit there and roll my eyes back and kind of look up like I think I'm hearing the audible voice of God speaking to me, please unsubscribe from my channel right then and there, okay? Father will move in my heart to direct my words, but it's not this ridiculous Saturday Night Live looking, excuse me for 1 second, guys. Lord, what else? What else did you want me to say? What ridiculousness. What absolute ridiculousness. And these words come out of her mouth. Oh, you want me to speak about Michael in Persis? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So you want me to talk about Michael? Okay. So we'll talk about Michael. Yeah, I'm sitting here and I cannot believe this. And so what this lady ends up doing is she ends up telling people that God speaks to her about Michael and Persis all the time. She says this on video. I have the video. I took a video of the video before she was able to take it off the internet.
This is a really disappointing situation I'm getting ready to show. I was sent this video by a subscriber of mine that is also affiliated with this young woman here, who has been following my channel for probably at least 2 years, it looks like. And she's always been very kind. She's been very involved. She's been very active in making the comments and always very appreciative for the work. And I've started receiving some emails. Basically, it sounds like she's starting her own little cult and thinks that people are all supposed to move together where she's at. And ultimately, they've sent me this video saying this is very disturbing. She's now prophesying about you, Michael. Is this true? So I've watched this video, and this is a very scary example of how a person can be deceived, really believing that because they follow Jesus, they love Jesus in their heart, that they are with him and speaking accurately. This lady has been taken captive by the devil to do his will. Again, Satan masquerades as an angel of light, so it doesn't look like that. She seems very kind, very sweet, but unfortunately, in her own passions, she has been led astray, and she has no idea, and she's leading other people astray, and so she's about to make a false prophecy about me. Perhaps this is another reason why the Lord has not permitted me to share people where he's actually having me move, but one day this will show this lady is indeed 100% incorrect, and she's prophesying the delusions of her own mind, which I sent that passage from Deuteronomy to the people who asked me about this. But this is really, really a warning to people. Anytime somebody tries to get you to follow them rather than Jesus, you better be careful. So I'm going to hit play here, and we'll see what happens.
Being in ministry is that you're going to have people who hate you and then they come after you, and I just need to get used to that. Irina and Jen are helping me with that, not to care as much about it, but it is also still very difficult for me in my walk. The Lord's encouraging me to sing more. He wants me to do that more. And as far as, I don't know, Lord, if you want me to talk about anything in people's hearts or to address anything in people's hearts,
She means well, but she's terribly deceived. Watch this. She thinks she's hearing from the Lord right now.
Just that, what you want me to see about Michael?
This is me.
What about him? I guess Michael Criswell was stopped from moving to Austin, Texas. And so we all kind of have been hoping and thinking that maybe the reason why he's doing that is because the Lord wants to bring his genuine body of believers together in the same place. And so we all feel at least that we're connected with Michael. And so we're kind of waiting to see if the reason why God is delaying things or stopping things is because he actually wants to bring his true body together in a similar place or same place in community. But that's up to the Lord and his will and him moving people along. And he also talks to us about the members of the little church, which I can say their names because it's not a legal issue to say people's first names, but Leo is one of them. The Lord talks to us about Leo a lot. The Lord talks to us about Taylor and Ethan a lot. And they used to comment on these channels all the time.
Those right there.
The Lord is talking to us about them all the time.
Come on. Those there, Ethan and Taylor, are the two that she, that actually had sent me emails. And this is a really, really sad situation. They have mentioned, I think, elsewhere that they think that I'm moving to Tennessee. That's the quote prophecy she's getting. So you can see here, this is a person who I believe she means well, but I see that she's been taken captive. And this is dangerous because she's starting to tell people that the Lord wants everybody to follow her and that there's going to be a real blessing. And so this is almost the beginning of a cult, and she's gathering people that are kind of like-minded that have been following me, and people shouldn't be following me. Everything that comes out of my mouth is about, you need to follow Jesus Christ. You look at my example. You follow my example, but my example is not me. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ is the mission, and when we have somebody that begins to tell us that we need to follow them, and that they have the ear of the Lord. And you can see what this lady is doing is She's positioning herself to make it look like she has the speaking voice of God and that God is speaking to her, but she is simply prophesying the delusions of her own mind and imagination. It's terribly sad. I pray God stops her in the name of Jesus Christ soon, but I also know that God allows these things to happen, but hopefully he'll bring her into a time of repentance and discipline her along with any who may get caught up in this.
Then there were more emails and more videos I started receiving where people were saying, you know, Michael, what's this with you and Lacey and moving to Tennessee? This lady now started telling people that God told her that Persis and I were moving to Tennessee so that we could have, and this is why we weren't moving to Austin, so that we can all get together. Guys, this is a false prophet. This is serious. This isn't just like, oh, well, she kind of misheard. This is a person who's delusional, who's absolutely convinced she's hearing from God. She's a false prophet. If anything, she's hearing from the devil. And I tell you, based on the recording I received from a young lady yesterday in tears, testifying to how this lady, Lacey, had been used to create so much doubt in her heart now about me, after she had been listening to me for a year and a half and crying desperately to get free of the attacks of the devil on her mind. And now this lady, Lacey, is creating so much doubt in her mind about me. She goes, Michael, I don't even know what to believe anymore. I'm listening to your videos and I don't even know if you're a man of God anymore. It's all coming from this lady, Lacey. This lady is delusional, saying to people, God speaks to us all the time about Michael and Persis. So let me ask you, Lacey, did God tell you about my wife's apostasy? Can you show, can you prove with any of your followers, can you show any documented evidence, dated YouTube comments, emails to me that God told you that you knew so much about Michael and Persis? Did you know that my wife had fallen away from the faith, Lacey? No, you did not. You didn't know anything about my wife. You didn't know anything about me. God has not spoken a word to you about me. And I told you so directly in a remark that I made to you on recording. This woman knew nothing about us. In fact, she has no idea where we're moving. We now know where we're moving, and it's not to Tennessee. And I'll tell that when the time comes. But this is the kind of garbage that Satan does. To draw away disciples after herself. And she looks so real in every one of these emails where people are waking up, young people, and they're coming to me and going, Michael, what about this? I'm trying to explain to them, this is a counterfeit. A counterfeit is when you simply add one little piece of dog poo. Come follow me. She's wanting these people to follow her. And she's making everybody believe that she's the man of God. She's the woman of God. She hears from God while she's sitting right in front of a YouTube camera. She's hearing from God. Well, sure, you want to follow that person. This is what all the cult leaders do. I'm not telling you guys to follow me. I'm telling you guys to follow Jesus Christ. I'm telling you guys to follow my example. And every one of you that try to come to me, I always point you right back to Jesus Christ. Is there any person that can't testify to this? I'm cutting out the ground from Satan, who does nothing but come to steal, kill, and destroy. He does every single thing he can to try to discredit this ministry and the work God's doing through it. Don't believe the devil's lies. You take everything I've said to you, brother or sister in Christ, you go measure it against the word of God. I'm telling you, I wish you could hear all the testimonies I've heard of people saying, Michael, I'm getting these terrible bad thoughts in my mind about you over the years. I just had a recording sent to me last night from Jared and Kristen where I said, guys, will you please testify that there was a time where Satan just ruthlessly attacked your mind about me, gave you all kinds of horrible thoughts in your mind about me to try to separate us and get you to not believe what I was teaching. When Jared first told his wife, Kristen, about me, she started to think that I was not real. This can't be possible, that I must be false. She had come out of Catholicism. The devil didn't want her to hear the truth that Jared was learning through the teachings that God was giving me on the internet. And then the same thing, Jared and I didn't realize that there was going to come a day when God was going to ask us to do some ministry together. So there was a several week period where Jared and I lived together, where he came under such heavy attack in his mind against me. He was hearing all kinds of horrible things, and no matter what he did, he couldn't stop it. You see, Jared didn't know at that point in time that God was going to call us into a work together and that Satan was going to do everything he can to try to stop us from doing that work together, to try to create offense, to try to create doubt. This is the spiritual war that we live in. And like my mom said, gosh, Michael, this is just so kind of hard to believe because we can't see the devil. But yet, you know, it's really true. We can all testify to this. He tries to attack your mind. He tries to create doubt. Michael's been married and divorced twice. I have not, by the way. Persis is still with me right now. Some lady just wrote, as you probably have saw in the comments, she said, she wrote yesterday, I want to hear from your wife. I do not believe you until I hear her testimony because this has happened to you twice. I wrote her back and I said, do you not believe God? This has happened to God twice too, and it's happening a third time right now. Everybody on the planet walked away from him in Genesis chapter 6, and he had to destroy them all. Then, in Isaiah, he had to write his wife a certificate of divorce, Israel, and send her away because of her multiplied adulteries and unfaithfulness. And now, in the new covenant, he's going to do the same thing, basically as the apostasy happens where his new bride of Christ completely falls away. Do you not believe anything that God says because this has happened to him three times, twice already? Guys, this is what the devil does. He'll do anything he can to steal, kill, destroy, and smear the work and messenger of God. Avoid the counterfeit. Stay in that Bible, okay? Stay in that Bible. May God bless and help all of us. Be very, very careful who you listen to. Have I not warned you over and over to be careful? Have I not warned you always go back to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says, to always go to Jesus Christ? Okay, I love all of you. God bless you in Jesus' name.